Geopolitical tensions are escalating, inflation is raging despite what they say. Stocks are sinking, debt is rising, and your own financial future isn't looking too clever. Yet gold endures crisis. Wars, disasters, no calamity has beaten gold. While paper assets crash and burn, gold endures. You need to take a fresh look at gold steadying your portfolio. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with new IRAs this month. Help shield your savings with a Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. noblegoldinvestments.com. Hey, everybody. Happy Saturday. Thought Crimes. That's right. Thought Crimes. We have Blake, we have Tyler, and we have Jack all in studio. We talk about the Satan Slayer. We talk about the degenerates at the SPLC and more. As your reminder, this is a spicier conversation. I think you'll really enjoy it. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today and become a member of our program, charliekirk.com/members, to listen to all episodes advertiser free. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Okay, everybody. Nobody is remote. Let me say that again. There is no one remote. We got Jack Posobiec.
We're here. First time since episode uno that we have all been in the same room
this is gonna be
at the same time. None of us are currently under indictment. Hold on, Blake.
They might have sealed indictments.
Okay, they may have sealed indictments. Fair.
Tyler?
We don't joke about these things. I'm here.
Why do you say that, Tyler?
No reason. We have nothing to fear.
And Blake.
Except God.
That's right.
That's right. All day long.
And the Taylor Swift fans.
And the,
you know, Tyler is telling us they're hunting after him.
Yeah, Charlie, have you heard this?
Tyler is now getting death threats
from the Swifties.
Started from my children and then worked all its way up to.
Wait, your children threatened to kill you?
No, not threatened to kill me, but
I mean, my threat to kill me like every day, but
yeah, I mean,
the little one tries to.
Yeah, I mean, there's a force out there, and I think that's probably why we needed to talk more about Taylor Swift.
Wait, no, so we did the Taylor Swift thing that was last week, right? We did last week, and then a bunch of left-wing groups were going after us. They clipped up the whole thing.
The whole thing.
They went to all the old episodes
where we talked about it.
They went to older episodes when the op first kicked off, when we first started kind of highlighting it. But Tyler, for some reason, they're going after you. Like, they're going after me in the press, that's for sure. But they're actually trying to kill you?
I got a lot of threats. What did they say? I think they expect this stuff out of you and Charlie. And so then it zeroed in and it was like,
yeah.
Who's Blake? And they couldn't find enough on Blake online. And they're like, wait, this guy's got social media.
We can find stuff on Blake.
he is kind of unreachable, though.
Yeah, but
let's tweet at him all day.
You know, like, we keep Blake's multiple families, you know, quiet, and you know, his foreign properties. You know, but with Tyler, it's all right there.
Well, I mean, all the points were well made. I mean, the points were well made that about Taylor Swift. We'll talk more about it. She's the new Oprah. She's the great threat to the Republic, and she needs to be exposed. That's just simple. That's just the simple part of it.
We will be
exposed,
right.
Like on the side of a hill, like when the Romans had a child they didn't want.
No, we're evolving on our position on Taylor Swift, and that's okay. And you know, it's causing some conflict with people who enjoy Taylor Swift and her music.
Look, thought crime will be proven right about Taylor Swift.
Soros, we just might not live to see ourselves.
We are inevitable.
Right.
George Soros doesn't just like get involved with people without reason. So we have reason to be here.
Yeah, right, she's like anti-Soros as she backs all of his candidates.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, that's not the lead topic for tonight. The lead topic, the exciting topic of today is the Iowa Capitol satanic display.
What satanic display day?
It's no more. It's gone.
There isn't one.
It isn't one anymore. So Michael Cassidy, a Christian and former military officer, tore down and beheaded a Satanist altar erected in the Iowa Capitol in Des Moines.
Navy officer, got to throw it out there.
Cassidy,
Navy, big Navy.
Cassidy turned himself in into police officers at the Iowa Capitol immediately afterwards. And then they confirmed with the local satanic temple that they did desire to press charges. So he has been charged with fourth degree criminal mischief, which is, you know, probably not so bad given the circumstances.
That's like nothing.
Yeah.
Literally nothing. So this is, and look, I'll just, you know, I haven't said any public comments about this yet. This was, you know, a major thing that we did on my show this week was targeting this specific statue. We did multiple episodes about it. We conducted the largest call-in campaign in history to Kim Reynolds' office, who's the governor of Iowa, asking for her to take this down. I called on Ron DeSantis because Ron DeSantis decided to go on the CNN town hall with Jake Tapper, of all people, right? You know, a great friend of us, great friend of America, someone who would never lie about anything, really. And he went on there and blamed all of this on Trump. And it's like, this is all Trump's fault. And of course, and Charlie would know the politics of it, that the issue being that Kim Reynolds is one of the biggest endorsers of Ron DeSantis in Iowa. The Iowa caucuses are coming up. Ron DeSantis has put all his chips on in this Hail Mary play that, you know, we're going to go all in on Iowa. We can do well there. Maybe it'll give us some momentum going forward. So anyway, these are all the politics. And I said to Ron DeSantis, instead of blaming this on Trump on CNN and thinking that's going to help your political standing, why don't you? And I actually said this, and we didn't have time, but I said it multiple times on the show this week. Ron DeSantis, why don't you go and get a sledgehammer and walk into the Iowa State Capitol and just take this thing down? Yeah, they'll probably charge you with something, but you could actually win the Iowa caucus if you do something like that, or at least do far better than you are now.
But he's too close with Kim Reynolds. That's the problem.
Yeah, he'd probably go up a few points.
Would he be tall enough to hit the head?
But then, Charlie, we had like local evangelical pastors telling us, well, we hate this thing. We don't like this thing, but, you know, we have to leave it up because, as David French tells us, it's the blessings of liberty. And, you know, we need to be respectful. And we need to leave it up. And then along comes an Irishman named Cassidy, or as I believe, God sent an Irishman named Michael Cassidy. And he just took it down. And he actually, I believe we have a statement.
He does.
You have a statement?
I have a statement here, okay, if we want to read it.
Yeah.
So Cassidy said in comments provided to the Sentinel that he destroyed the shrine on Thursday in order to, quote, awaken Christians to the anti-Christian acts promoted by our government. The world may tell Christians to submissively accept the legitimization of Satan, but none of the founders would have considered government sanction of satanic altars inside Capitol buildings to be protected by the First Amendment.
Fact check, true.
Anti-Christian values have steadily been mainstreamed more and more in recent decades, and Christians have acted like the proverbial frog in the boiling pot of water.
I think there was a line, too. He said something about morality.
Oh, I can find more of it. Let's see.
I know I tweeted it. I just want to get his exact words because it was, I thought it was powerful. I thought it was very powerful.
So what is he charged with exactly?
Oh, wait, I just found it real quick. So it's fourth degree criminal mischief, like,
okay,
whatever.
Well, that's not that bad.
Yeah. He said, I saw this blasphemous statue and was outraged. Michael Cassidy said, my conscience, Charlie, I know you're going to like this. My conscience is held captive to the word of God, not bureaucratic degree.
Now, I love this, but Blake, you think that this is an overreaction and a big op and nothing wrong with Satan in our capitals,
right?
Well,
I don't want to say nothing wrong, but what I would say contextually is...
Blake French over here.
There's no context with Satan. What are you, like the president of Harvard?
What I can say is...
What I would say is death to Satan, Christ is king.
Satanism is fake, by which I mean people who put up altars to Satan do not worship Satan. They are just atheists who are basically Redditors.
Wait.
And they think they control Christians by doing stunts like this to make Christians mad. And then they will make Christians dumb or overreact.
What Blake is saying is that, like, yes, obviously there are real Satanists out there. But this group is a, like, left-wing Reddit LARPers who will say on their own website, we are not actual Satanists. We've just decided to apply for this under the IRS code.
Yeah, religious exemption. They do these things as a stunt to make us mad and to troll us.
The statue, then they do the after-school Satan clubs, And even in the state of Texas,
it's a lot of effort for a troll, though, Blake. Okay, that's your argument.
But it's not. It's like
money.
You put up a little Satan display. Everyone knows what that stuff looks like.
Yeah, but doesn't
they're getting
Satan trolling still
the
help Satan?
They're getting the heart this exemption to the heartbeat bill.
Well, they're trying to
in Texas.
Because they say it's their religion.
It's a satanic practice to receive an abortion. And they've even created the satanic abortion ritual on their website. And now, yes, to anyone who is Christian out there looking at this, we do have to question why it is that they choose this. Like, why not Karl Marx? Right? Why not make a religion of Karl Marx and say, we believe in this, we want it up? Why is it always Satan?
Because it's screw you, Dad. That's why they do it.
Because you think it provokes us?
They do. Well, mission accomplished. It literally did. And I think this is somewhat stands out. At least it was that, like, the guy. What I like is that the guy smashed it and then, frankly, like, did immediately turn himself in and essentially say, I did this as an act of civil disobedience. Because I think what they always want to do is...
He actually planned this out pretty well.
Yeah, what they always want to do is, like, one, they want to provoke a perception of hypocrisy of Christians. So if Christians complain about, you know, being persecuted or that freedom of religion is in threat, and then as soon as someone essentially takes advantage of freedom of religion to put up a thing Christians don't like, they immediately want to smash it to pieces. And
yes.
So the intent is to make Christians appear intolerant, Christians appear hypocritical, Christians appear kind of unhinged and violent and likely to overreact to things. And I think this guy going about it in the disciplined manner makes it less likely that will happen. But that is the intent of these things. The Satanic Temple also put up this message on their Facebook page. This morning, we were informed by authorities that the Baphomet statue in our holiday display was destroyed beyond repair.
Holiday display.
We are proud to continue our holiday display for the next few days that we have been allotted. We ask that for safety, visitors travel together and use the seven tenets as a reminder for empathy in the knowledge that justice is being pursued the correct way through legal means. Solve et coagula, which means, I believe, dissolve and coagulate. Happy holidays. Hail Satan.
So dissolve your differences and become one.
I assume it's just some catchphrase of these wackadoodles.
It's just a catchphrase.
Hermeticism.
Yeah.
You all become one.
Yeah, all become one.
That's
yeah, exactly.
Very
I don't think, I doubt yeah. they're doing it for hermetic reasons because I think they don't talk about that on Reddit, but.
I mean, so they use the term holiday display.
My next question going forward, and we're going to have to cover this, of course, tomorrow on The Daily Show, is so he has been charged with this. My question for, of course, Governor Reynolds is, will you pardon Michael Cassidy for this? Will you be issuing a pardon as the governor? You said how much that you stand up for Christians. You said how much that you defend Christianity. Will you be issuing a pardon? And just in case you're not watching Thought Crime or you haven't seen my multiple tweets about this, we are going to be organizing the next largest call-in campaign in history when we call her tomorrow to make sure she gets the message.
Now, so just because, again, we want to foster discussion. So trending right now on Twitter, as I was checking for stuff about this, trending on Twitter is Romans 13. Charlie, do you know what Romans 13
says?
Submit
to all leaders in authority because they are there for your good, Paul wrote. That's right. Why is it trending on Twitter? Because people say that you should just obey your government authorities there no matter what.
Yeah.
It's the longest political verse in the New Testament.
Yes. So I have it here. I can read it if we want.
Was I right?
You were very close. Basically correct. This is the ESV version. I know that's your favorite. So this is Romans 13, 1-7. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. We'll jump ahead a little bit. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed of them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is
it's the longest political verse in the New Testament.
So this is, if I remember, Charlie, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there were a lot of pastors who cited this during COVID.
Well, it's also the most quoted verse during Nazi Germany.
That's neither
here nor there. But yes, I mean, but then let's just
planning on that, but here we are.
Yes, but it's very simple. So the question is the sovereign of who's in charge. So who's the sovereign in America?
President of the United States.
Well, no, the people.
Ah.
That's the proper way to read the verse.
Yes. Yeah.
So if we had a different system, then the verse is trickier. But it's not tricky here.
The king would be the sovereign.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. That's
okay,
right.
I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Now, but it also says there for your good.
I just feel like that's a cop-out. Because even if the people are sovereign, well, the people elected the governor of Iowa who said, we're not going to take this down.
But the governor is still not the sovereign.
Okay. But I don't
so who are the rulers?
I think... Well, what for about rulers the con- are not a terror to good conduct.
Like, what about the Constitution?
Well, at that point, you might as well just say, well, okay, and the Constitution has freedom of religion. And
so in the Iowa
but
Constitution...
But Satanism is not a religion. Yeah, well, that's the issue.
And even in the Iowa Constitution, it actually it specifically defines as the supreme being
yes.
Constitutes well, that, our law.
Yeah, the Declaration says that at the end. Yeah, I mean, look, the Constitution is written... First of all, the question of who the rulers are, it's the question of sovereign. And even if you don't buy that, that's fine. Not everyone does, but it's pretty simple because the Constitution's clear about that. Because it doesn't say that the king is in charge or the Congress or the governor, that they submit to the will of the people. And there's all these measures to get rid of them if they don't do it. But then the other question is, did the founding fathers envision for freedom to practice Satanism? Is that really what they envisioned when they created a system of government? Like, would they be like, that's exactly what I want?
Probably not, although okay. Since it's a fake religion anyway, that's so it getting... Because they would probably say...
I kind of agree it's a fake religion. I don't think it should be get religious designation.
But you're saying if it was actual Satanism.
Well, it doesn't matter what it is. They're using the... It's obvious what they're doing. They're trying to... It's the same thing with the civil rights law. It's all of this. They tried to use some sort of a pretty good idea, maybe, for their own purposes and pervert it and try to destroy Christianity with it.
Yeah, but the only way they're really destroying Christianity, I feel, is that they are trying to troll us really badly, which is they're trying to do this to embarrass us. And the only way you get embarrassed by any of this is by reacting to it in the wrong way. If you don't react to it at all, no one really knows.
You don't think
or
it's
cares.
An embarrassment for it to be to be up there?
I mean, how often do you think of the Iowa State Capitol otherwise?
Well, if the Iowa State
it's like how often do you think about the Roman Empire?
Everything. All the time, exactly. So,
I mean,
if they erected
a
satanic,
yeah. But I mean, it's a symbol, right? I mean, it's a symbol of some sort of societal and moral decline, where a country that once would believe in ethical monotheism and have all of these Christian principles, obviously, 9 out of 13 states required you to be a Protestant Christian to be an office holder, to then have a satanic display in the state capitol. That's not the fruits of liberty. I mean, no matter
perhaps,
how hard you try to spin it, like that's
and most of the states also had blasphemy laws on the books.
Yeah,
but to add on to that though, is that if we think okay, if we're going to say the founders didn't intend this, they thought you know you could enforce religious requirements and you could enforce blasphemy laws
specifically at the state level.
Yes, exactly. But given the drift of America at this point. What's more likely to happen if we decide actually the government can dictate religious stuff and
but
prohibit
that's
blasphemy?
The thing is that
what is the blasphemous statement most likely to be punished?
It's
in America
not religious.
Today?
That's the point. Is that the founders' belief of religion was Judeo-Christian ethical monotheism?
But you could easily argue that's essentially because that was the only thing in town.
Not
the
really. There was plenty. There was Anglicanism. There was Presbyterianism. There was Congregationalism. They were perfectly fine with the Hebrew congregation, perfectly fine with Catholics. Deism. The idea that Satanism fits perfectly within the founder's vision of religious liberty, it just doesn't fit. I mean, but the religious liberty provision is being abused. And whether it's like civilizational altering or not, it is obvious. And if they're trolling us, I guess you could say it's working, but like we do believe we're in an invisible war against Satan, right?
Well, Charlie, the question that I have, I guess, or Charlie, going ahead, but it's just like, why is it that, you know, if we call ourselves, we say, oh, we're the conservatives, and Kim Reynolds, and even in her response to this, she said something about how, well, we support freedom of speech, but we understand she used the phrase good versus evil. We are in a contest of good versus evil, and I will always stand on the side of good or something along those lines. And my point is, it's like, but what were you doing to actually fight for that? So I guess my question, and Tyler, if you want to take it, is like, why have conservative leaders just been so okay with like doing nothing in the face of all of this?
What,
like literally nothing.
Why did Aaron create the golden calf?
That's a good question.
And if satanic monuments are going to become the golden calf of how we defend the Constitution, I think it's the same thing, which is like the intent that was made when the golden calf was created, right, was not even a vile one in, by any means, right? Like it was just Aaron way off base. And I think that when you look at this and you look at it and you go,
it's like a golden calf.
Yeah, it's like a golden calf. I think it has a direct correlation, which is like we shouldn't be allowing ourselves to create all these different things just in the name of defense of constitutionalism. And there's a really great analogy to that where it's like, and you look at this guy, right, that went and smashed this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the immediate thing I think of is when Moses came back and he's like, okay, we're going to obliterate this thing because these people have no idea what the, not seeing the forest through the trees of what we're doing here. And we're going to have a lot more problems coming, you know, amongst our people here. And that's exactly what's kind of going on. I think that that's where people are so fed up. You know, you talk about the populist, you know, contingency that we have now in the movement, where it's like we have all these people that do not see the forest through the trees. They do not see ultimately what the angle is of what the conservative movement should be, which is conserving something.
What are we conserving?
For a purpose.
What are we conserving?
Right? And at the end of the day, if we're going to like, if we're going to spend all of our time defending
of what?
We're going to spend all our time defending all these conservatives who are like, I'm not a conservative because everything in America is terrible now. So I'm a revolutionary or whatever.
Right.
I want to interact with the comments because, you know, we're all here.
We are live one, for once. Yeah, we've got as well.
It's me again, Sai, who points out Muslims would not allow something so offensive.
Muslims would never allow this.
And they would not. I mean, they murdered people because people made
cartoons
of their, you know, I have my disagreements with the practices of Muhammad, to say the least.
Their prophet.
Yes, their prophet, the greatest man who ever lived, a slayer of many
him.
Infidels,
Aisha
marrier
was
of many nine-year-olds.
Aisha was eight.
Eight? I think she was nine. Do not blaspheme the actions of the prophet.
No, nine when it was consummated. Eight when they were betrothed.
Six when they were betrothed.
Peace be upon him.
Wow. Peace be upon him.
I shall take my lashes.
Yes, indeed. And so it's me again. Sai also says that the Smasher is a Chad. I haven't seen a photo of him.
Wait,
so I can't.
Did we post the photo of him?
I think Charlie did. Charlie did. I don't know.
Did we post it? We got to post that. Throw him up. Michael Cassidy. So I have not seen.
He's the modern. Look at this.
So guys, Navy officer. So, and he was a Navy pilot as well. So of course you're an officer. Born in Annapolis, grew up in Arlington, served in the United States Navy. So if you're a pilot, that means you have to be an officer. That's how that works. And multiple deployments, including on the George Washington aircraft carrier. I couldn't grab from his bio, you know, where exactly the Washington was during that time. I just pulled up his, because I guess he ran for Congress at one point in Mississippi. So it seems to me that he actually traveled from Mississippi to go and do this. I don't have all the details on this yet. He came very close to winning his primary in Mississippi. So Mississippi, those races are, it's pretty much a primary race where, you know, if you win your primary, you're going to, it's like a, you know, fait accompli for the
general.
Maybe
he should run again.
So I'm kind of thinking that he should, but I actually don't know if he's filed yet, but you know, Tyler, what's the Mississippi filing deadlines? Because if this, put it this way, if that guy's on the ballot in Mississippi, I think he'll do well.
So you know what, Mississippi is such an interesting place because it produces a lot of really weird moderates there, but you know,
moderates,
yeah,
like who?
Oh, I don't know, like Haley Barbour.
Oh yeah, Haley Barbour. Okay, all right, I'll give you that.
Their entire family that's run the place for like the last 30
yeah,
years.
Fair. No, I got you. So it's when it comes to this guy though, it's you know, I think he'll do well.
But locally, he
could have been a sitting congressman right now doing
that.
That
would have been
like, could you imagine?
I'm kind of glad he wouldn't, because I think if a sitting congressman did do it, it would be impossible to extract the publicity stunt.
It was because he lost. What do you mean publicity stunt? Don't you mean theocratic stunt?
No. Yeah, exactly. No, but like, I think it is good that a obscure person did this.
That, right. Yeah, but he had that hunger.
Like, it would
he
not have been hunger. Good if Josh Hawley went and smashed
no.
it.
Really?
No.
Really? Yeah, no, because really? Everyone think, like,
no. Josh, I thought the point that, like, DeSantis should have went in and pushed it over, like.
No, but DeSantis is, right. The reason that DeSantis needed to do this and the fact that it was free money. It was free money sitting on the ground. And I said this to a lot of people during this week. I said, guys, the problem with DeSantis, the problem with Kim Reynolds, what they don't understand is, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to tell you
yeah,
this would be a fantastic exactly. opportunity for your campaign.
Respond. It would
be, you know, you need to do something to kind of, you know, because you're on life support right now. Actually, they're worse. Ron DeSantis' campaign is not on life support. They're actually in a coma.
They're actually right taking the organs out.
They're
as actually
they're beginning to take the organs out. They're going around. There's like, does he have a DNR? Like, you know, we got to see what's going on. I think they're eyeing up the organs. To be fair, they're eyeing up the organs. They're like, all right, what blood, you know, blood type? You okay? And then so when it comes to this, it's like you got to get out of that hospital bed, man. You got to get out because you're about to flatline. You're in danger of flatlining. This would have taken him. I don't know if it would have propelled him past Trump, but it certainly would have made it a competitive
race. It would have at least made him the chief talking point in the country, which part exactly. of the problem is just that he's never actually, you know, no one cares about this race. It's
he
all
does.
Just...
Did you see that for the next CNN debate that Ron DeSantis is the only one who's confirmed so far?
That would be funny. That would be really
so,
funny.
So we've allocated Chris Christie 2 minutes to defend, but he's not here. So we're just going to have to wait for those 2 minutes. And so like DeSantis would have to... would just have to like stand there quietly.
He could debate himself, like in the old Pixar short where the guy plays chess against himself.
And like take it over.
Just kind of lope over to the other thing and then like kind of puff himself up and be like, I'm Chris Christie. And then he just pretends to be Chris Christie.
Then he'd be like Nikki Haley, be like, I want to invade everything. I want Dunkin' on TikTok. What's wrong with you? It's fine that my daughter does it, but you need to get off right now.
Yeah, just have a debate where Ron DeSantis plays all four of the major non-Trump GOP candidates.
See,
like,
if he could actually pull that off again, that would be really good for him.
It like, would.
That would have been something that actually gets people interested in the campaign, makes people kind of interested in him, but it's...
Oh, you mean
it's
like populist
ideas. Like an actual populist. Like, I remember, like J.D. Vance. Look at J.D. Vance, the way he responded to the East Palestine train wreck, right? So you could have had a traditional GOP senator may have said, I'm going to hold them before a hearing, right? Which I think he still did that eventually. Or you said, you know, I'm going to conduct an investigation into the National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB, and we're going to see what's going on for all of this. But what J.D. Vance did was so good in terms of populism was that he actually went to East Palestine and he's talking to people who are there. He's going to diners. He went to the river. He threw that stick in the water. We see the chemicals spray out of it. And suddenly, because there's a chemical slick here, then it's like, wow, something's actually going on. And J.D. Vance, it's like a 15-second video, but it became the most viral video of J.D. Vance's entire career because he just took up the mantle of populism for like 5 seconds. And Charlie, that's my thing. It's like there was free money on the floor here, mm-hmm. right? Just waiting for Ron DeSantis to come and pick it up. Do something, man.
So,
and he is physically incapable of doing it.
So a question here. So accepting that this is a valid time to disobey the law or whatever, what other times would that be
civil? Well, first of all, civil disobedience is biblically supported. In Exodus 1, the midwives to the Hebrews disobeyed Pharaoh's orders when Pharaoh said, kill the firstborn. And it said God treated them favorably and treated them well and gave them multitudes of families. We could look up the quote. Daniel disobeyed government authorities in Daniel 6 when the king Nebuchadnezzar said, you're not allowed to pray, and opened up the window to pray, and he ended up in the lion's den. So biblically, it gets back to Acts that you obey God and not man. So when there is a very simple, like a very clear, like non-cloudy, non-murky, commandment from government to do something against what God's will is, then you disobey. For example, like you're an SS officer, you must go kill 100 Jews. Do you say, well, you know, Romans 13, I must... Now, that's an extreme example, obviously, right? But, you know, the one in Exodus is very similar to that. So if there... The Satan display does not go that far, but at the same time, it's pretty clear that, you know, the principalities of darkness will not be tolerated. But it's an interesting theological discussion, because during COVID, we saw people say, well, I can't resist tyranny. And biblically, it's a lot more complicated than that. So,
well, exactly. I mean, Charlie, where's Romans 13 when literally the Romans were throwing, you know, were throwing Christians to the lions for practicing Christianity?
That's right.
All of our original martyrs come from the persecution of Christians by government authorities in Rome.
Well, including Christ,
by the way. Yeah. Starting with Christ, clearly. Yeah. Or potentially John the Baptist, if you wanted to look at it that way.
Yep, his head was cut off.
And it was Salome. But I guess my point is, like, John the Baptist was clearly disobeying authority, but he was doing so in service of Christ.
Yes, that's right. So when do you... Yeah, actually, I want to look this up. Exodus 1 is probably... It's the first example of civil disobedience in the scriptures. Let me see, go to ESV here. And it says that God dealt favorably with them, and God actually liked it. So the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, the midwives to the Hebrews, we don't know if they were Hebrew or Egyptian. One of them named Shipram, named Puah, when you serve as a midwife to the Hebrew women, you see them on the birth stool. If it is son, you shall kill him. If it's a daughter, you shall let them live. But the midwives feared God. So the fear of God, right, is the beginning of wisdom, and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them. So under a very strict reading, people would say, well, you have to listen to the king always, right? Romans 13. Well, so then the king of Egypt called the midwives to them. Why have you not done this? Let the male children live. The midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They give an excuse for they're vigorous and give birth, so on and so forth. So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very strong. And because they feared God, he gave them families. So
Charlie, why is it so? And this is something that, you know, like, let's talk about COVID, right? COVID, we don't have to go so far back as to, I mean, obviously, yeah, right, sure. 1930s Germany is the most extreme example that we could probably think of. But even during COVID, why was it that predominantly in the Western church, we saw so many Christian leaders calling for people to go along with the COVID guidelines? Yep. We saw them to call for vaccines. Pope Francis gets out behind all this stuff. And even up to the point, and I will always say this, that I'll never forget the day that I showed up to a church and the doors were closed, and it was like 10, you know, you got to get the kids ready and everything. And it's like 5-10 minutes after the service began, and we couldn't come in, and it said, because it's full. And it's never happened to me in my entire life. And of course, you can look in and see that there's all this like empty space in there. And I'm telling you, something like inside me just snapped, just absolutely snapped to think that a church's doors would be closed during service.
So the American church did not value liberty, and a spirit of fear, not a spirit of fear of the Lord, filled a lot of these pastors in these churches. And we saw them misquote Romans 13, in my opinion. But Blake's argument is what a lot of them made, but, and they might be right. I don't think they are. But anyway, the point is that they allowed the church to be called non-essential, which is, I mean, that's not Christianity, right? The church is the bride of Christ. Never forsake the gathering of believers. That's what it says very explicitly. Honestly, what it is.
Which, by the way, it's also under the First Amendment.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And religious protection is explained. I mean, and then again, it comes into the hypocrisy. If it was actually lockdowns, then marijuana dispensary, liquor stores, BLM riots, Home Depots and Walmarts wouldn't be open. But the churches were, you know, and by the way, a lot of settlements have been issued.
Yeah, so you could go to Walmart. It's in some states you could go to the casino, right? Which, yep, I'm pretty sure that gambling isn't covered under the First Amendment. These were considered essentials under economic purposes, but churches were
sex
not.
Sex shops were considered essential.
Strip clubs, right?
Essential rainbow dildos, black dildos. Just you get all double dildos, as many as you wanted, but you couldn't go to church.
Yeah. So the question is, let's look at, so this particular incident, was this person doing the will of God, or should he have submitted to the satanic symbol? So let's pretend that it wasn't a troll, because it probably is some form of a troll. Again, I get pretty.
Or, I mean,
if I see
what if it's a, what is if it a Muslim display? Would it have been okay if he smashed up an Islamic display?
It's a good question.
Or even, you know, you could say, I mean, that I will say Hindu display. So
Islam is
one.
More of a religion. It is an Abrahamic faith. I mean, they do at least venerate Mary and Jesus. Like, Satanism is just like a complete middle finger.
Well, now we got Hindus. So it's a polytheistic
religion. There was a Polish MP who smashed up a menorah.
He doused it with a fire extinguisher.
Oh, that's right. With the fire extinguisher.
Definitely shouldn't do that.
The Polish same, Polish Senate.
So are you saying, Blake, that Satanists don't actually believe in that?
Yeah, I mean, Satanists they use Satan as a metaphorical representation of like humanist values. Yep. So they're like, we're, you know, atheists, humanists. There are different branches of it. I should clarify. There's kind of two or three different strands of Satanism. Because you have Satanism that is sort of like, I'm a Redditor who's going to rebel against my parents. And
which is basically this one.
Yeah, which means like Satan stands for science. There's kind of a Nietzschean Satanism. I think that's Levan or whatever you'd call him.
That's Church of Satan.
Yeah, Church of Satan. And so that's its own kind of, it's like a libertarian worldview that views Satan as like the ultimate rebel who can't be, you know, whose authority does not rein him in. So there, that one cares more about the idea of like, oh, let's embody the principles of what we think Satan believes. But it is still not really, it doesn't worship Satan except to say that like, actually the Satan as described in the Bible is like totally fine. Like he had it right to rebel against God. And so, but neither of them is really a religion in the sense of like, let us assemble and pray to Satan because we want Satan to like do good things for us or anything like that. You know, you don't die and then, you know, believe that you go to Satanist heaven or hell heaven or whatever the heck that you would come out of that.
Yeah. I mean, just we as Christians do believe, and I know you're a Christian, Blake, we believe Satan is a real being in the universe with real power, not ultimate omniscient, omnipotent power. And yeah, when you see a display of Satan. So here's an interesting question. The old expression is what, Blake, that Satan's greatest trick is getting people
getting
to believe,
the world
he, doesn't
believe
exist?
He didn't exist. And so it would make sense that Satanists would be people who don't believe him.
No, but I'm saying that is this actually...
Plays right into that.
Yeah.
What do you mean? The display does? Or?
Because it plays right into that phrase, right? So if that's your motto, is to make the world think that Satan doesn't exist, then what you would do is come up with a troll organization to troll people into worshiping Satan because they don't actually think that they've gone so far around the bend that they're actually worshiping the father of evil and the prince of lies, that they're just messing with the Christians and messing with the status quo. Actually, Charlie, I had pulled up the seven tenets of Satan, right? The opposite of freedom.
Yeah, it's like bodily autonomy.
And
wait,
you gotta love this one. I was like, this, yes, that is one of them. The body is inviolable.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, satanic tenet number five is gonna, I just wanna see Charlie Kirk's reaction to this. So, Charlie, are you familiar with the seven tenets of Satan?
No.
So let's teach Charlie about the seven tenets of Satan. Tenet five, I'm just going to skip ahead there. Beliefs should conform to the best scientific understanding of the world. One should never take care to distort scientific facts to fit one's beliefs.
If Fauci's a Satanist. What are the other ones, Blake? One's bodies
go,
and bo- I was
let's
right
go.
About
one.
Yeah, you're,
I'll
yeah,
go
that
in
was
order.
Three.
One.
That was three.
One should strive to act with compassion and empathy toward all creatures in accordance with reason. These people are wusses. This is
in
lame.
In accordance with reason.
You could at least have made Satan sound cool. These people make Satan sound like a dork.
This is definitely gay Satan.
Yeah.
So this is basically like in Marxism.
Gay
like
two.
This
so the struggle for justice is an ongoing and necessary pursuit that should prevail. Whoa, this is crazy too. The struggle for justice is an ongoing and necessary pursuit that should prevail over laws and institutions.
The struggle
so the Church
for justice.
Of Satan would endorse smashing.
Endorses civil
if
disobedience.
It serve it. Whoa. Three, one's body is inviolable, subject to one's own will alone. Four, the freedoms of others should be respected, including the freedom to offend, to willfully and unjustly encroach upon the freedoms of others is to forego one's own. We read number five before. Six, people are fallible. If one makes a mistake, one should do one's best to rectify it and resolve any harm that might have been caused. And seven, every tenet is a guiding principle designed to inspire nobility in action and in thought. The spirit of compassion, wisdom, and justice should always prevail over the written or spoken word. You're right. This is gay Satan.
This is just incredibly lame.
This is Satanism as developed by like a teacher's pet in
ChatGPT. ChatGPT Satan.
This is ChatGPT Satan.
Steve Bannon would say that ChatGPT is
the greatest trick. The greatest trick the devil ever played was convincing people that Satan was horribly uncool.
Yeah, but then this is the more provocative question, which is Satan, which is a real force for evil in the universe. Is he more interested in having some sort of like weird display in a capital or getting like Iowa teen boys addicted to porn?
I suspect the latter.
Of course, but yeah. I think that plays so into your kind of, argument.
That goes
though.
Into what I was saying. Let's, you know, if this is okay, but then also, would it be okay for this guy to blow up a porn shop?
No. Well, if no one was hurt, but I mean, I don't like terrorism or anything. I mean, that's.
But that you know, that's a worth question because you know, you mentioned Hitler, of course, earlier.
And you say no. Legally, you know,
how about this? If you could tell me you could do a DDoS attack and crash Pornhub for good, that's a moral good.
Yeah, that's okay. Clear.
Yeah, that's a better over, you know, that's a better question than like going Timothy McVeigh on
what
a porn
if you,
show.
Okay, what if you
allegedly?
What if you?
Which I don't support.
When it was empty and it was closed at night and no one's there, you blew up an abortion clinic, and because there's equipment in there that's expensive and all that.
I don't know if I like that. I don't know if I like that because does that actually? Yeah, I have to think about that.
Morally or legally?
Yeah. Obviously, it'd be illegal, but you know, it's an interesting thing to think about, and it was something I got asked by one of the like faith outreach advisors when I was at Dartmouth. You know, we had this like dweeby mainline Protestant who comes in and was like, "Oh, so you're with the pro life group on campus, Blake? And what do you feel about this?"
It's an awfully
Meanwhile,
I mean, it's not too abstract. There are people that bomb abortion.
Speaking
clinics.
Of which, we had a pro life display.
Our pro life stuff all the time.
All the time.
True story. We did a pro life display at Dartmouth. We called it the Cemetery of the Innocents. So we put up a little kind of like cross and an American flag.
Yeah, yeah.
For it was like every 100,000, every 10,000 abortions.
Each one represents.
I think it was every 100,000 abortions since Roe v. Wade. So you know, we had several hundred of them.
Right.
And someone ran it over with a car. Like in front of us, like drove
at
up,
Dartmouth.
Yeah, at Dartmouth, like drove off the road, smashed the whole thing.
This is what I'm talking about, though. This is what I'm talking. This is exactly what I'm talking about. It's called having moral clarity. So a leftist would never sit and actually think about whether or not I should do something because of moral clarity or not. They would just do it. They would just act. And it's been like this for years, whereas the right will go into vapor lock and say, well, gee, I don't know. I mean, technically, there's a thing. So if you got one side that wants to argue, we should allow this, we should allow this, and the other side just runs you over with a car, which one's going to win out in the end? Which one is going to win? Right? It's not the one who's like thumping the rule book. It's the one who's stealing all the money from the bank of Monopoly.
True enough, but I do think... One, if we're Christians, we just believe that we'll ultimately win because kind of God will put a finger on the scales. But it's interesting. We have a few comments that got highlighted. Let's see. ADS626 just says, agrees with us. Satanism is not a religion because it can't exist on its own. Its existence is entirely dependent the existence of Christianity.
Fact check, true. Not, by the way, there's no like historic... tradition of Satanism. This was all created like less than 100 years ago.
Yeah. But you know, Christianity was less than 100 years old at one point too.
Look, I don't want to be the person that's like questioning whether or not the satanic stuff is real or not. It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, what does matter is that anytime that people are thinking about Satanism and kids are exploring that, we know that brings a dark force into their life. And
yes, sir.
I think actually one of the things we haven't discussed at all was this entire episode brought more attention to Satanism and kids that mostly young people, because we've seen this in different periodic times, start investigating this stuff. And then with the internet today, they look into it and whether it's gay Satanism or it's real Satanism or it's like just satanic acts that I think the devil wants us to partake in, that always opens up the door to
which
evil
is
stuff.
And what are they targeting right now all over the country is schools. So
especially like middle
schools.
Of nowhere, Iowa, where you've got like, you know, kids that can get themselves in trouble. And it's just like the thing with me, that this is part of the reason why I really appreciate the guy that did what he did. It was just like
Michael
just be
Cassidy,
with it.
Say his name.
Just Michael Cassidy.
Nobody speaks of Michael Cassidy without the title of Sheik.
Just, just be done with it. Move on. Knock it over and get out of here. And that's like the point that you brought up was like the governor should have been the first one to like put a black tarp over the top of
and
get out of there.
And part of it, Blake, I think you can understand is that we are seeing the effects of Satan everywhere, right? And so we're seeing it with drug addiction. We're seeing it with the open border. It's just kind of like a big
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, well... a big F you of
just you were like, the one who said you didn't want to talk about her anymore.
I'm just begging for
I
it.
I tried the Swift to is, have.
That's right, true. In all seriousness, Charlie, I'll back you up on this, man. Charlie came in here, was like, I don't want to talk about Taylor Swift. We talked about it all last week. Became a whole thing. They're trying to kill time. They're apparently, there are Swifties right now in like commando gear. They have pink headbands on, kind of like Hamas, but they're actually Swifties, and they're coming after Tyler in his sleep.
Well,
right
when
now,
they try to indict
house.
Us all like Trump,
yeah,
I'm going to end up with like an entire jury full of Swifties.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. All Swifties, and you won't even make it. They'll just kill you right there. Like you won't.
They're
even,
not going to ask him any other questions. They're yeah. just going to like, do you like Taylor Swift?
What's your favorite Taylor Swift song, Tyler?
Are you Swiftie for all the entire
it's like
jury?
That scene in Clockwork Orange where they got the eyes open.
You're on.
That's right.
And that'll be Tyler.
Registered Republicans.
What's their called? But I think that it's kind of the network thing, which is we're mad as hell. We're not going to take it anymore.
Exactly.
Right? Which is in a obviously vastly majority Christian state like Iowa, it might be technically constitutional. It might, which I don't want to get into because I don't think that's right.
It just doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's just kind of like F you, man. Like you're going to put up like a monument to Lucifer.
Nope. Nope.
Right?
Nope.
We're not.
I am not
allowed.
How about
Christ is king? That's my response. My comment to all media, all press on this, death to Satan, Christ is king. The end.
All righty. That was a good topic.
You want to do the ad read, Blake?
Do you want me to do the
ad
read?
Yeah, you want my thing of silver?
Okay.
It is heavy enough.
Am I allowed? I think
silver and gold.
All right, fine. Noble Gold Investments is seeing a surge of gold buyers, and it's pushing gold higher and higher within $2,000. It shouldn't be surprising. We're practically at war against Russia, and the government also guaranteed all deposits of the second largest and third largest bank run in history. This means more money printing, and the Fed has just raised interest rates by another quarter basis point. The people who are not afraid are those invested in gold with Noble Gold Investments. Gold is the most stable asset outside of any government control. From billionaires to multimillionaires to institutional investors, Noble Gold Investments is seeing an unprecedented gold buying spree. Hurry and go to noblegoldinvestments.com. Use promo code Charlie and bag a free 5 ounce America the Beautiful coin with each gold or silver IRA if you qualify. Noblegoldinvestments.com. Look at this. It's amazing. You can get silver, you can get gold. They're such great sponsors. Colin does a great job. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. They are great. Colin and the team, I think the world of them. So go to noblegoldinvestments.com right here. Promo code Charlie.
All right. Topic number two. So you mentioned A Clockwork Orange. That's a movie. Our next topic is going to be a movie. I don't know if you've actually have you seen this movie trailer yet, Charlie?
Wait, no,
I haven't. You guys have to lead on this,
Blake. Before we go here, we've got a comment on this regarding Blake and ad reads. Mm-hmm. That I'm just like, Blake, you are clearly like in the chat under a false name, right?
Oh dear,
because this says Blake is our royal leader. He does not need to do ad reads.
Oh, oh dear,
Franklin 77.
Franklin 779.
Oh dear, I actually think I know who that is. It's
not me.
It's not me, but
it's a ringer.
All righty. Well, next time you can try to pin me down. But anyway, so there's Get a movie closer. Coming out. It's coming out this April, but we have a trailer for it. It's a couple minutes long, but it's good for setup. So we're gonna roll. Let's play 112, and we'll react to it afterwards.
19 states have seceded.
The United States Army ramps up activity.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces as well as the Florida Alliance.
The three-term president assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Let me know if you want to try anything on.
Are you guys aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America?
We just try to stay out. With what we see on the news, seems like it's for the best.
Citizens of America,
the so-called Western forces of Texas and California
have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
We're moving to D.C. today.
We need to go down what? There.
They shoot journalists outside of the Capitol. Every instinct in me says this is death.
Every time I survived the war song,
is it made by
I thought I was sending a warning home.
No,
don't do this. But here we are.
But there's some kind of misunderstanding here.
What?
You're American. Well, you're American, okay?
Okay.
What kind
of American are you?
You don't know?
What?
The Western forces will reach the White House on July 4th.
Oh my God.
Get in the car! Get in the car! Move, move, move!
You're gonna hang back.
I'm not hanging back.
One nation under God. Indivisible. With liberty and justice for all.
Go, 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 go!
God bless America.
So that's Civil War coming in April.
So Charlie, the big controversy that's been raging online after this came out is, so you see that shot in there where it's the American flag that only has two white stars on it, as opposed to the 49, which we have now. I don't recognize California. But in this, the two stars are California and Texas. So the question that has arisen online is, at least on the online right, is what possibly could be the political setup here that drives California and Texas to join together and then secede from the Union?
Didn't Obama co-produce? Is this the Obama thing?
No, that was a lame movie.
That's a separate.
Okay.
That's
separate. So boring. We decided not talk about it.
Yeah, okay. It's like a cyber attack, and
they're making us turn against each other. Yeah, don't even. No, this is cool. This is the guy who made 28 Days Later, where everyone supports it because it involves Britain getting destroyed.
Yeah,
absolutely. And he made Ex Machina, which I haven't seen, but it looked cool.
Oh, I loved Ex Machina. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it's good. Really so he's good. Made he's made some good movies. So this could be a good movie. It looks not
totally unbelievable. The political setup lost me when they say California, Texas. But there's no way.
But that's kind of what's fascinating. I'm checked
out. Could you think of any?
No.
Setup
zero.
I think it could be an alliance of states with like an insufferable local burger. I don't want to say insufferable because In-N-Out's great and Whataburger's great too, but like they're very insufferable and smug about having their own special burger chain.
So you think the burger chains unite?
They might.
No,
I've never had any hamburger that wasn't an In-N-Out burger in my entire life. As a matter of fact,
the only way that this works,
even though I'm not from the West Coast,
the only way that this works,
I've had them imported,
is if nuclear holocaust happens in certain parts of California and all that's left is the Central Valley, and that's like really the Texas of California,
right?
And so you have the Central Valley basically is running the entire state of California, and then they're like, okay, let's get together now that everybody else is gone.
What's the name, Blake, of that movement of it's kind of like a Mexican driven movement about taking back
Aztlan.
Yeah, the Aztlan movement. So
maybe they got back like SoCal.
I could think of the Aztlan movement, and yet, but when I watched the trailer, it's like, so okay, maybe they somehow take control of Texas, and then also get control of California. But then the problem with that is you don't actually see any Hispanic people in the trailer.
It's Hollywood mixed race America. In Hollywood mixed race America, what happens is it's just white and black people, and every couple is mixed race, and that's how you have diversity in America. It's just very strange because they want to make a movie that's like America. This is a really relevant. I mean, America's deeply divided politically, and we have members of Congress talking about a national divorce, and we're going to engage with this very raw topic with this ridiculous fantasy where there's a Florida alliance and Texas and California team up to attack the White House, and journalists are heroes when in fact everyone knows that journalists are scum.
Well, and Kirsten Dunst plays one of the journalists. And then she's married to Jesse Plemons in real life.
Oh.
Who plays the guy who's like, what kind of American are you? And they've been a bunch of. So I've been trying to work my like Hollywood sources to try to like get someone to say, what is really going on here? Because you really can't tell. By the way, did you notice the sniper with the fingernails?
I did not see that.
So you saw that?
Yeah.
So when they show that scene, there's a sniper in a ghillie suit and it zooms in. When you look, their fingernails are all painted in like separate colors, but it's clearly a male sniper. So people are saying that's like a trans sniper.
The trans sniper.
So maybe it's a trans sniper.
Yeah. What stood out
full,
to me
full
is
full manicure.
What stood
so,
out to me
so then
is
it's like what
they
side
mention,
is that on?
The best evidence that this is sort of some dumb anti-Trump thing is like it's this third term president and he kind of has this bombastic rah-rah thing. And what they're saying is they're saying approving airstrikes on U.S. citizens. And all I could think of is, was it Swalwell who just was punking people on Twitter about
Joe Biggs?
Yeah.
Swalwell said this to Joe Biggs, who is now currently in jail over January 6th, the former InfoWars host. He said basically, like, we'll conduct airstrikes on you if you come at us.
Yeah, just the left loves to brag that they'll just airstrike the crap.
They're obsessed with, like, we have drones and
drone strikes. Yeah, like when they took over that dumb thing
all the time,
Oregon or Nevada, wherever it was. The Bundys took it over, and
then they were going to drone strike them.
Was it Bundy? I can't remember their names. Is that their name?
Bundys.
The Bundys. They took over
Dakota.
Yeah, and then they just
Oregon. Sorry, Oregon.
Idaho.
Yeah, and then they just. People were like, why aren't they droning them? We would drone them if they were the Taliban. Why won't we drone the American Taliban?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a projection film in a sense.
So I guess I'm guessing that that's probably right. They've got Nick Offerman on because this is another example of Yellowstoning. So conservatives like Nick Offerman because he played Ron Swanson on Parks and Rec. And Ron Swanson is one of the most base depictions of someone on the right in modern media in probably the last decade. He's like Charlie, you remember that line where he's like, my idea of a good government is like one guy in a room somewhere and his only decision is who do we nuke?
Yep.
Women are brought to him at times. The man will be chosen by, I don't know, an IQ test of sorts. This will be the best form of government. It's amazing. It's so good, right? It's so good. And he's, by the way, he had a whole health food thing that he was talking about.
I have bad news for you, by the way.
What's that?
We're only 1 year away from Ron Swanson not being in the last decade.
Wow.
That show ended February 2015.
He does
so
look very old.
14 wow. months away.
Wow, that's wild.
Nick Offerman looks really old.
Yeah, so he plays. So the reason I call it Yellowstoning is because that's when they take someone that conservatives like and then put them into something new.
Like Kevin Costner.
This is where the term comes from. To make them a vehicle for left-wing ideas. And so Nick Offerman is actually pretty liberal in real life, like most Hollywood actors. And so I really think that it's going to be something like that. Like, he's a rogue president, and for whatever reason, they'll come up with some setup that Texas and California go against him because he's trying to turn the United States into a dictatorship. And it's like California doesn't like that because they're leftists, and Texas doesn't like that because they're, you know, pro-freedom. Mm-hmm. And so they decide to unite together and fight the dictator in, you know, the authoritarian. So it just fits in with everything that they've been talking about with Trump lately and saying he's going to be a dictator. And then he masterfully, you know, flips around and says, well, maybe for a day, but we're just going to focus on a couple of things.
But none of this makes sense, though, because Nevada and Arizona would end up going the way of like a California, Texas scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
Yeah. So like, why? Then, yeah. What's the deal with those? Like, the
and then
states?
New Mexico would be like Poland, right? It would just get conquered in a day.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I mean,
like, it actually doesn't really make sense. So that theory,
New Mexico is
a good theory.
Defenseless.
It's a good theory, right? But like, it doesn't make sense to me geopolitically. Because Arizona
remember,
would 100%.
Hollywood. It is still
deep
like
down. What's actually ridiculous about these Civil War setups is like the American Civil War makes sense because you can have, you know, 80-90% of the population in a state in the original Civil War. Like, we're gung ho. Like, yeah, let's secede. Let's revolt against the government. And you'd have 80% in the North say, no, let's sign up. Let's go fight. Like,
Let's send Irish immigrants in our state.
There's only like 10 states in the U.S. that are higher than 65% for one of the parties. Like, mm-hmm. almost everyone is actually functionally between 40 and 60, and they'll have large swaths of every state that, you know, go the other way. So the idea
because
that
the split is geographic.
The split is geographic.
In the 1800s versus now, when it's like the Civil War would be against your neighbors. Basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Which someone said that on MSNBC at one point that like you need to. It was Malcolm Nance, of course.
Yeah,
it was
and
Malcolm
so like,
Nance,
and then you
where
the
you
idea,
have to go. You might have to kill your neighbors if they.
How
start
would you
uprising.
Like? How would you have a Californian armed forces? You don't. The only way you can do these is
trans snipers. That's California sniper is the trans sniper. We figured it out. Yeah. I think we figured it out.
Yeah, but it is kind of fascinating. Like, in history, where you see this happen is, like, you'll have an army unit that's all some ethnic minority, and they speak their own language, and they're not super well integrated with everyone else. Those are the guys who can do some sort of rebellion or some conspiracy to overthrow the government. These days, all of our units are guys thrown in from all over the country.
We know the reason they did that. This is actually one of the reasons that the U.S. military, after the Civil War, instituted this idea of the PCS, the permanent change of station. So you didn't have regionally defined units. So sure, we still have the bases. Like, we just changed all the names. I don't even want to remember the new names, but so like Fort Bragg isn't just soldiers from North Carolina. Fort Hood isn't just soldiers from Texas. AP Hill, just in Virginia. So
Fort Gay Satan.
Right. So Fort Gay Satan isn't just soldiers from Massachusetts. And so as you go down the list, right, you know, Norfolk Naval Base, a Norfolk Naval Air Station. So part of the reason is to prevent this localism from ever happening in the first place, because you're constantly shifting around between these bases and between units. Yeah.
Do we have another ad read?
He says we do. What is it going to be? I'm in suspense now. I'm really excited to find out what the ad read is.
Well, we'll get, Fort Gay.
What did Rush used to call them?
We're prepare with thought crime.
You got prepare?
We're taking a gratuitous. I'll do prepare. Can I get the?
It actually makes a lot of sense to prepare with thought crime.
Prepare with thought crime. Yeah.
Especially there you go. After the unthinkable is happening. It's right there, Jack.
There you go. No, I got it now. But you just said it.
The unthinkable is happening.
Oh, but I'm going to do the rest of it.
That's right.
Just do the
first
line.
The no more surprises. Happening. It's all out in the open.
Well, that's the second line. You just said the second line.
We'll do the fourth line.
Well, our so-called institutions tell you not to worry, that everything is fine.
But you know better. You won't allow yourself to be blindsided, guys.
Join the folks investing in emergency food storage.
You can trust My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company.
You know, in fact, you could pick up their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit with breakfast, lunches, and dinners that last up to 25 years.
Blake, now the next line is yours.
Their delicious meals offer over 2,000 calories every day. Just add water and heat, then eat.
Go to
preparewiththoughtcrime.com
and save $200
off the 3-month emergency food kit for My Patriot Supply. For each member of your family, My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters, and for power outages, gravity-powered water filters, boom, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon.
Imagine not having a gravity-powered water filter. Imagine having family come to your home for Christmas and say, where's your gravity-powered water filter? And the shame that appears on your face when you have to admit you don't have one. And everyone leaves. They take their Christmas tree and all of their Christmas cheer and probably some of your children with them. Imagine the shame. So if you do not want that moment to exist, visit preparewiththoughtcrime.com and prepare another for the fallout and save $200 off a 3-month emergency food kit. That website again?
Preparewiththoughtcrime.com.
Take us to the SPLC.
Oh, to the SPLC. Okay, this is a wild story here. So the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, let me get this story real quick. So this is a story that's breaking just the last couple of days. So the SPLC, they claim that, you know, they're named Southern Poverty, but they don't really care about any of those things anymore.
So they defend poor people in the South.
Yeah,
right?
You think they would do that, but right, in fact, they're attacking poor and middle income people in a Appalachian state. That's kind of like the South.
Shema.
So there's a publication called VDARE. They are a right wing publication that opposes the open border state of the United States. They're controversial. We'll admit that. They have takes not all of us would 100% agree with.
They commit a lot of thought crimes.
They commit a lot of
their
thought crimes.
Their whole existence.
That is a good way of putting it.
Well, that actually comes into
they're
the
one
story
of the websites they're most obsessed with taking out. The New York Attorney General's office is trying to harass them out of existence.
And really?
It's a really bad case.
Are they headquartered in New York?
I don't know that they're headquartered there, but
no, they're headquartered in West Virginia. That's
yeah,
the story.
But they're doing some nonsense where they're trying to dox. They're trying to get all of their donors on a flimsy pretext so that they can leak anyone who's donated money to VDARE. It's super sinister what they've been doing, but this is especially sinister.
Yeah,
so,
you're right. They're suing VDARE. That's insane.
Yeah, we should cover that on the show sometime. So what's happening this time though is VDARE is headquartered, or at least they are operating out of Berkeley Springs. It's a town in West Virginia, about an hour from D.C. And VDARE owns, they call it the Berkeley Springs Castle. It's like a large house that I think used to be a large house that was owned by someone because it used to be a spa town. There's mineral springs in Berkeley Springs. And so they own this building. They use it to host events, and they do sometimes rent it out. And the context here is the SPLC is upset that Peter Brimelow and his wife Lydia live in Berkeley Springs as part of this.
We're showing the castle right now on the B-roll, just to be able to know what that
so
is.
They, you know, they live in this town, and the SPLC is upset essentially that the town hasn't like murdered them or done this uprising to drive them out of the town or like unpersoned them and made it
or like Joseph Smith them in Nauvoo, Nauvoo, Illinois.
Yeah, just you know, they're, I'm sorry, they're Tyler. Upset the town is not destroyed.
I wasn't
which,
there. What? My people,
I wasn't there.
My people survived.
That's what they want, though.
Yeah. Exactly.
So they essentially are mad.
So when you say their whole existence is a thought crime, this actually becomes like the dry of the story. You're not allowed to buy a house in our town.
So
yep.
There is a local charity in this town that they exist to raise money to beautify the town for Christmas. Let's put up public Christmas decorations in Berkeley Springs.
Yeah, they hold like the town Christmas party
and
at the castle.
They host a Christmas party at this castle that is also a fundraiser for this event. And they've done this since, my understanding is, since before this was ever owned by VDare, because the building is 100 years old.
Yeah, so they went out and like they were attacking this Christmas this town Christmas party like last year, SPLC was. But then, and they were basically saying, how dare you do this? And it's like, and from their perspective, as you say, like it's always been just an event center. Like it's never, you know, even before they bought it. So it's always been just like a local place where you hold events.
And so these
like, I'm sure there's weddings that are there, et cetera.
These two people affiliated with the SPLC, Hannah Gaius and Michael Edison Hayden.
Two what?
Two people affiliated.
No, I don't think they're people.
Oh, that's true. You're right. And also, full disclosure here, Charlie, you have to understand this. We're going to lay this on you easily. Michael Hayden has a piss fetish.
Oh, really? Tell me about this background of this subhuman.
It is important. It is important to dwell upon this. So
and they're subhumans. They're not.
It was a play that he wrote.
Play.
And it has crap. I don't have it in front of me, but it has
scatological erotica.
Scatological erotica within it. Those are two words I don't think we've used.
This guy's allegedly a reporter.
He has been published in the Daily Beast, which is allegedly a publication.
Formerly of ABC, formerly of Newsweek, couldn't keep a job at Storyful, ends up at the bottom of the barrel itself at the Southern Poverty Center.
And so what they
this
did
is how
they,
subhuman
Hannah Gaius and this piss guy, they bought tickets under, I believe, a fake name to attend this party so they
committed fraud.
The attendees. They defrauded their way into, well, I've also attended an event under a fake name, so I can't. Mine was funnier, but I stuck into the white privilege conference. It was great. But so they break into this Christmas party under false names. And what I can reveal that I don't think has been reported publicly is they were literally taking the Brimelow's kid, I think an 8-year-old, and they're trying to pepper this 8-year-old with questions, you know, about the house that this is in. And, you know, do they know anything about some of the back rooms of this house? You know, what might be stored there? Is there, you know, can you tell us anything about this? So they're literally interrogating an 8-year-old child on how they could potentially scope out this building that they have decided that they want to infiltrate in Berkeley Springs because the owners have committed the unspeakable thought crime of wanting America to have a lower immigration rate and an actual border. And then they went to the Daily Beast, and the Daily Beast is like, this is amazing journalism. We are going to publish it.
And did they go undercover to this Christmas party?
They went under fake names. They bought the tickets with fake names. And then I assume the Brimelows recognized them. They saw this happening.
And yeah, I mean, they're trying to get these people killed.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
That's what I mean.
Ultimately, like, this is what this is about. Last year, a year ago, the Washington Post contacted, I think, the extremely tiny town tourism office for Berkeley Springs and essentially says, like, hey, you know, we're going to publish a piece about your town and all of this, but you know what might help you guys, you know, if you got better advertising, like if you bought advertising with the Washington Post. They literally did a shakedown like this.
Unbelievable.
By the way, so the play was called The Books, and the Village Voice described it as the post-Golden Shower literary discussion romantic dramedy you've all been waiting for. So he wrote a Golden Showers play.
Wow.
And this was over a decade ago. This is before any of the, you know, like, it's possible that this is actually where the Russiagate story of Golden Showers comes from, that they were actually doing an homage to a scene in the play.
Oh, so I just, so I'm looking at the summary that was sent to me by my friend, and it's even weirder than I thought. So they were, so Hayden and Hannah, they had to travel from New York just to attend this event, to crash this event in Berkeley Springs.
By the way, in all disclosure, they did the same thing to last year's New York Republican Gala to not only all of us who were there, but they actually tracked me and Tanya Tay on like a train, because I guess they were like coming up from DC on the same train as us. They were stalking us in the train station, taking photos of me and my wife as we're like walking through Penn Station in New York, in Des Moines here, which is a beautiful station, like taking photo of us behind, Tanya Tay looking gorgeous as usual in like, you know, just her full travel attire. And then they start posting like they took this train at this time, like completely deranged mental bio-Leninist behavior.
This is a good reason, by the way, that, you know, we should care about being fit and attractive, because you want to make sure that if, you know, disgusting SPLC parasite subhumans are stalking you, that they'll take photos and be like, they look so good. They look
why
so
the
happy.
Attorney General of Alabama hasn't gone after these people yet? They're headquartered in Montgomery, Alabama, right?
So this is specifically what it was. Volunteers at the event, because this event, it was at the castle, but it was hosted by a different charity. They did not recognize the SPLC reporters, but became concerned when Hayden, who is in his 40s, singled out the Brimelow's 8-year-old daughter and attempted to draw information from her regarding the off-limits back office areas of the castle where this girl personally lives. So these people traveled 300 miles under fake names so they could corner an 8-year-old to interrogate her about her home. These people are sick.
They're sick people.
This is what the left will do. They're coming for your children, as they say.
What would a serious country do with people like this?
I'm not sure, but I don't think they would like it.
No, they probably wouldn't.
They would probably say that it was hostile to acts of journalism.
Want to take it up a notch? Says Helen. Mark, how? Helen, I do golden showers. Mark, because the website specifies no deal. In clean red Tahoma font. Helen, but you and I have trust going after the book loan. Mark, you'll piss on me? Helen, want me to? Charlie, it gets even worse.
I don't know if
it gets even worse. Yeah, I don't even know if I can do that. I'll just add this line. I'll add this line. We'll put plastic on the floor. And then it just gets worse from there. This is the person that we're told is a...
This is a moral judge.
Moral judge.
Person who can tell us who's allowed to like...
To tell us
town.
Who's allowed to hold... Where the town's allowed to hold a Christmas party, who goes after 8-year-olds and in his spare time writes stuff about golden showers with just complete... I can't imagine. I just don't understand why his playwright career didn't take off after this seminal work. I mean, you know, William Shakespeare, take the back seat. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody, AmFest, we got to get going. Sorry, we got so much to do. AmFest.com, AmFest.com. We will see you guys Saturday. Guys, great job. Thank you guys so much. We will see you on Saturday. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Ah, ho, ho, ho.
Hey, what's wrong, Santa?
Well, it's these elves. The new ones all feel entitled. They don't want to work their way up the ladder. In fact, they hardly want to work at all. Then there's those social justice elves. They keep pointing out everyone's differences, dividing the elves and getting them all riled up. And don't get me started about the reindeer rights elves. The shop floor just isn't the happy little place it used to be.
We should have used Red Balloon.
That's right, Santa. RedBalloon.work is America's woke-free job board. Every day, we help good companies find reliable, motivated job seekers without all the woke nonsense. And our new Red Balloon Recruiter Service is turning traditional corporate recruiting on its head, delivering high-quality employees for a fraction of the price. Give yourself a Christmas gift and post your jobs on RedBalloon.work today. And use promo code SALEM to get 10% off your first month's job posting, because life's too short for a bad hire.